Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings.
Welcome back to the show. Glenn and Neil with you all the way up until noon today. Joining us in the studio for part two of our Saturday sit-down conversation is Tracy Pang, the director of Falling and the Pandemonium Theater Company, and actor Andrew Marco. Tracy, let's talk about the theater scene in Singapore. You know, we had you guys come on a number of times during the pandemic to talk about what was being done to keep theater going, mm-hmm. to keep people employed and making money and all of that. Where are we now that we're a couple of years out of the pandemic? How has the scene bounced back?
Very lukewarm. To be mm-hmm. honest, it's been a very tough journey for us coming out of the pandemic. Mm. I actually felt like during the pandemic, we all worked really hard. We worked together as a community. And also the general public were very supportive as well, because they saw and understood how hard it was for us. Mm. But coming out, all the kind of the government aids were removed, all of those kind of things. And people went back to normal life. But a lot of the audience was still a little bit afraid to come out and sit in big public spaces. Mm. So it's taken 2 years of slowly getting the audience back. The first year we were looking at 30% houses, which was unheard of before the pandemic. Mm. So that kind of trying to build the audience back and make them feel safe in the theater, trying to work out what they wanted to see, trying to get even, you know, your corporates to give money, you know, that all disappeared, you know, during the pandemic and didn't come back. Mm. So it has been a long journey. And I would say we're now, just over 2 years out. This last 6 months is where I've really started to see things kind of, you know, look a little bit rosier. Yeah. You know, the people are coming back. You can see that also in international shows are all coming back in as well, because they feel safer that the audiences are coming back. So there is a positive vibe now. There's a lot more shows going on. The audiences are coming back in. But it's been a tough 2 years coming out of the pandemic, I'd have to say. Yeah. And we're still dealing with, you know, really irritating things like actors getting COVID, and, you know, and then what do you do? You know, that's a real tough one for us, because we're not because it's such a small industry where we run for less than 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We never usually had understudies.
Yeah. You need to have everybody on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like overseas, because the usual contract is if you're doing a show that's running 6 weeks or longer, then you have to have an understudy.
Mm. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's usually the ruling. Outside of, you know, in the West.
Yeah.
So in Singapore, it was pretty unheard of to have understudies, unless it was a humongous role that you just needed that security. So that's something new that we've had to deal with as well. We're on the up. We're definitely on the up. We're working pretty hard. Audiences are coming back now. I think our last couple of shows for Pandemonium, we've seen really positive houses. That kind of lifts the heart a bit, makes us feel a little bit more relieved. Yeah.
I got a question for you, Andrew. Mm-hmm. It could be slightly controversial, depends how you take it, and maybe Tracy can come in. Since the pandemic, we have seen this trend phenomenon, and I've certainly seen it firsthand. They're calling it the post-COVID audience. You know where I'm going with this. New York Times have written about it. The Guardian have written about it in the UK. As if somehow we've forgotten how to behave in the theatre, in the cinema, post-pandemic. It was an issue before. We know that. But coming out of pandemic, I'm seeing more phones than ever before. Yeah. There's been examples of people shouting at the stage as if we've forgotten how to behave in front of something that's not a television that we've been in front of for 3 years.
Yeah.
Have you seen or experienced any of this?
Well, thankfully, the audiences that we've had so far since the pandemic have been pretty well behaved. I mean, you get the occasional person using their phone, but I like to, if there's someone using their phone in the audience, I like to just look at them, make direct eye contact with them or something.
And laser beam eyes.
Laser beam right there. And then, you know, like some audience members will turn and be like, oh, what's he staring at? And then they'll be like, oh, it's that person with the phone. And I'm like, yeah, get off the phone.
Right. Because
it's really obvious as well. It's a lot more obvious than you think. Like, but
I think that people don't realize that when you're on your phone, it lights up your face.
Yes. Of course it does.
For the cast, that's all they can see is all these faces.
Exactly.
It's so distracting.
You know, one thing, I was telling Neil this story several weeks ago. I was at a school play at my kids' school. And, kids were doing a great job and everybody up on stage having fun. And there was a lady sitting in front of us with her phone. And the usual, you know, my wife was next to me and she goes, psst, you know, cut it out, turn it off. And she did. And then later on, she put it on again, and I happened to notice she actually had her voice translator on because she was Chinese, and so she was looking at the translation of what was being said.
Oh wow!
And for the first time, I was like, oh yeah, wait a minute. You know, she had Google Translator, one of those on. I'm like, yeah, okay. So that kind of put a different spin on it for me.
But that's a 1 in 100.
Well, sure. Most people are on their LinkedIn or not LinkedIn, WhatsApp or whatever, checking their messages. But I thought, maybe there is there a way to use technology now to increase audience sizes, be more inclusive.
Yeah.
Obviously, some productions have the things up at the front of the stage that might have a translation.
And you have accessible performances, relaxed performances.
We do. We're having accessible. So we are having
closed captions
for a number of shows. And I think with those, we kind of the information that we put out is we tell people if you require the closed captions, these are the seats that you should book.
Oh, that's
as
good.
Well, so it's kind of on the sides because so that if you don't want to see it, you don't have to. As well, you know, there are these things happening. There are people who are kind of not just having the translate on, but then you also get people who kind of forget they're in the theater, and it's like they're so into it. It's, oh God, that actor! And then they start looking up the actor, on Google,
as we do,
But it's like. Forget that. You can do that afterwards. Just watch the show,
Have you noticed a difference post-COVID, or is that just a media hype thing? Broadly.
I haven't really seen it in Singapore quite so much, but I have seen it overseas. So, people, have become very self-entitled.
Yes.
So that show is for me and me alone. And they want it the way they want it. And if I want to sing along to the song, stuff the rest of you that don't want to hear my voice, but I'm going to sing along to the show. But I think in Singapore, maybe we're a little bit more reserved. The worst thing we really deal with here is usually phones. There are... I struggle with people that are constantly getting in and out of their seats. So we do have rules with our shows that if you go out to the toilet... You either can't come back or you can't come back to a certain point in the show, of which people get really upset, And we got people that have turned up 20 minutes late and wonder why they won't be let into the theater.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not only going to disturb the actors, you're going to disturb everybody else who made the effort to get there on time.
Lateness seems to be a big one at Singapore productions, I find. Yeah. They're right at the bell, barely, and they're coming in way after, more so than I've seen in other countries. Would that be fair? I know we're a busy city and we're dealing with traffic.
No, I think you're right. I think, like, when I'm in London, you've spent however much you've spent on a ticket, you're damn well going to get there on time, right?
Absolutely.
But here, it's like, I pay for my ticket. I might come, I might not,
It's
10
disrespectful.
Late, it's
and people
very,
don't understand.
It's a very common thing here.
Disrespectful.
Lateness to a theatre production or any form of, like, artistic production. I've seen that a lot here.
Yeah.
And to Tracy's point... Generally speaking, I've not seen that in London, New York, Melbourne and Sydney where I've seen other shows. It's like, as you say, I've bought the ticket, I'm getting there early, I'm having a drink, I'm having a meal and then I'm going
in. You make an event of it, right? Mm. Whereas here it's like I'm rushing here after work.
Exactly.
I don't feel like there's the same urgency to get there on time.
Yeah.
And, we're not going to hold the show just for you.
Of course. Andrew, from an actor's perspective, when you look out and you see the lit up faces because people are on their phones.
Yeah.
What does it do to you, your concentration, your performance? Do you just get annoyed, and does that impact your
It does kind of annoy me a little bit, but it takes me out of the performance moment. A little bit, out of the moment. But I know I'm prepared for it. So if I've got a big moment coming up and I just need to be in it, I just look at the lights. I stare at the lights of the theater and I don't look at the audience. But in moments where I have to connect with the audience and kind of speak to them, and I see people on their phones, it's like, I try very hard, but I'll do the cheeky thing where I'll just look at them or something, and I'll just make it very obvious that I'm looking at them, and they'll learn their lesson.
Hopefully. I've seen it particularly at Marina Bay Sands at the theater there. The ushers are really, really militant. Mm-hmm. If they see somebody with their phone, they will walk in and, you know, during the performance and chide them quietly.
I think
which is great. I mean, I think everybody else appreciates
that. Do you advise that kind of approach?
To a certain extent, yes. I think because one of the new things that has come out of the pandemic and is people not just on their phone but actually recording things.
Ah, right.
You know, and then they want to post it on Instagram. So you know,
live,
and,
often so, live.
And so, you know, and some of them think they're influencers, you know, or whatever it is, but it's, you know, we just can't allow that to happen. One, if people are watching it, spoils it for the people that might be coming to see the show.
Sure.
But also, you know, for us, we don't have the rights to air anything from our show. So we have to try. It's our responsibility to tighten down on anybody who could possibly be filming it and want to share that in any possible way that they do. And that's a more recent thing that we've had to deal with.
You know, I think I've seen it a couple of times, but not often enough. And I think one thing that would help would be an announcement. You do your announcements at the beginning. Please turn off your phones and all that. That's great. But also an announcement saying at the end of the show, there will be a moment for you to take photographs
which
of the
you
cast
do that. You do
and
that.
The stage. Sometimes, but not all the times, right?
Yeah, because I think we got to a point a few years ago where we stopped doing announcements. We kind of felt like, okay, the audience has matured. They know what to do. They know to turn off their phones. They know, you know, all the rules and regulations. And we just kind of felt like we wanted to be, you know, a mature industry where, you know, the audience, the announcement doesn't, you know, put a damp squib on starting a performance. Mm. You know, it's like going into school and the headmaster or the principal has to give, you know, you know, the lay down of the day, and you know, but it's kind of that's turning on its head a little bit. Because
I hate to
of
say it, but
things.
I think you still have to do it. I think
so
you still have to do it.
It's a real shame. It's a real shame.
Yeah. You know what else I'd like to see is up on a screen what it looks like from the actor's perspective to see people's faces lit up.
Yeah.
Say, this is why we don't want you to check your phones, because this is what it looks like for our performers.
Yeah.
Because I've never ever seen that, and I've never even really thought about it until you said it today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm interested in what Andrew said, the fact that you have certain tricks where you look at the ceiling to make sure. So indirectly, I wouldn't say it's affecting your performance, but you are aware of it in real time. Yeah. So it is having an impact on your performance.
That's true. I mean, it's not only just for the phone bit, but it's also because like I don't want to, you know, in these very intense moments where I have to focus or really just nail a certain note, I don't want to suddenly make eye contact with someone that I know, you know, in the audience. And that's the thing for me. Like, I just don't like to recognize people in
period.
The audience. Yeah, I just, especially like when my parents come.
Right.
You know, and if I can see them all as in a row, I'm like, oh. So I like to just, you know.
That's why I never sit on the front row here in Singapore.
Yeah.
I'll sit away from the back. Never. I won't put people off.
Yeah. You
know, that's not nice.
Absolutely fabulous.
We need to come to a better place, though, and sadly, I think people are still need to be reminded how to act, and I love it when theaters take a hard line.
I like what the projector does. The projector has these funny ads at the beginning. They basically shame you before you even start, and I do feel that's the only way. Look, I don't want to be a grump. I don't go to the cinema anymore except the projector or morning performances at the IMAX because I just can't do it. I don't like the phones lighting up. I don't like being pulled out of the movie. then I have to say something, and then I get annoyed, and then for the next 10 minutes I'm thinking about the phone and not thinking about the movie. It has a real knock-on effect, Tracy, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, I was just telling the guys the other day, I was like, I love actually going to see a movie in the middle of the afternoon.
That's what I do.
But there's nobody there, and it also feels really naughty because you kind of feel like you should be at work.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just the greatest feeling. It's like, oh, yeah, this is great. Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Mm. All right, Andrew, tell us one more time. Why should we go and see Falling?
I think Falling is one of the shows that helps you understand humanity on a different perspective. It encourages you to tap into your kindness, your empathy, and your patience, just seeing how difficult it is to deal with a situation like that. And it just kind of, you know, broadens your perspective, broadens your mind, softens your heart.
And in general, support local theater, get to the show early. Turn off your phone.
Or Andrew will stare at you.
I will stare at you.
He will give you the grin.
Give you the evil eye. Yeah.
Where can we get tickets from? Tracy, still available?
Yes, tickets still available from Systic. So just go online, get your tickets. Still some good seats available. Get them now.
Beautiful. Tracy Pang and Andrew Marco, thanks so much for being with us on Money FM.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg. Or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO. Audio at the App Store and Google Play.